All right, welcome to season 2, episode 1 of the newly dubbed Tactical Nutrition and Performance Podcast. So helping us kick it off is Angel Cortez. So Angel is a former ranger and future dietitian, and I love his story. And we are only really going to be scratching the surface of his life today and kind of where he's been and where he's headed. But his story is so unique, and it's truly amazing, and it's one that is definitely worth hearing. And even though we're going to get a little glimpse of it, we're just going to talk about his evolution from hoodlum to pipe hitter to entrepreneur and soon to be RD. You guys are not going to want to miss it, so stay tuned. All right, Angel, thanks for joining me today on the podcast. So I'm looking forward to talking with you. So I first learned about you kind of through Andy Stump. So I was listening to his podcast, Cleared Hot, and I really can't remember if I started following you on Instagram first or if I heard the podcast first and then I started following you on Instagram. I'm not sure. But I remember you kind of talking about your story a little bit, and you kind of come from a unique background, right? You didn't really have kind of like the the white picket fence kind of upbringing. You know, there's been a lot of things that have happened through your life that maybe have kind of shaped the direction that you've taken. So I really want to, you know, kind of talk about that a little bit, right? Because when we, in the dietitian community, you know, there's not a lot of diversity or adversity. And I think it needs to be brought out that, you know, not everybody has this sort of the same beginning. So if you're comfortable with it, I'd really like for you to kind of talk about, you know, just kind of yourself.
Yeah. You know what? Every time I bring up certain things, it does get easier. And once I, you know, bring it out there, I realize that, you know, I agree with you. Like, not that many people have ran into people like that, so they may not understand or even know. But I'm the first one in my family to be born in the United States. We were poor, and you know, there's not much resources that are available to you because of, you know, that, whether it be food, educational resources, or, you know, you name it. So growing up, I would see, you know, Army soldiers, and I looked up to them. They were real life heroes. You know, Batman's, you know, was a cartoon. Superman was a cartoon. That's fake, you know, but U.S. soldiers, I thought, you know, that was the top of the top. That was real. That's something that I can look up to. And I wanted to be, I would daydream a lot that I could do that. I would play with plastic soldiers from like the plastic, you know, bag of soldiers that you can get from 99-cent store, and I would play with them in the dirt all day, just daydream about that. And, you know, 9/11 happened. So, but I was in elementary, so I didn't think I'd even join. I thought I would miss that war, but as soon as I turned 17 and a half, it was still going. And then being 17 and then having to get to an age where this country has, you know, provided a lot for my family and I. So, you know, my mom found resources that, you know, through, was it a state or federal or whoever is in charge of it. But, you know, that put the, you know, that government cheese and all that put food on my table, in our bellies, that if it weren't for those programs, you know, we weren't going to have that. So I saw it as the country had been taking care of my family and I, and now it's time for me to do my part in take care of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think whenever I'm working with someone who's looking to go into the military or to serve, you know, my first question to them is always, why? Why do you want to do this? You know, are you doing it because you see the cool guy stuff on TV, because, or on Instagram? Or do you really understand kind of what you're doing, what you're getting into, especially when I come across somebody who wants to serve in the special operations community. You know, if you're just doing it for the clout, the accolades, you know, and not because
you necessarily sometimes, you know, I really feel like you have to be called to that profession. You know, so my question is always kind of why people are doing it. And that was kind of why I had asked you that question is, you know, what drove you to kind of want to be in special operations and kind of serve that way. So once you made the decision to join the military, you know, what led you down your path that you went into the Ranger Regiment? Would you be interested in talking about that?
Yeah. I would go to my friend's house a lot before I joined, and you know, he had cable, so I would watch the military channel and the Discovery Channel, and they would have a lot of specials on you know, the current war, so what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I noticed that IEDs had a big part in either wounding or killing soldiers, so I wanted to do something that would affect that. I didn't know what way, so I had like a little pre-made speech that I was going to give the recruiter, and I was like super nervous, and I was practicing all week, and it basically was something like, you know, my name's Angel Cortez. I would like to join. I keep seeing on television that, you know, IEDs kill a lot of soldiers. Is there a job that would, you know, attack those people who make them or find those people, find the things and destroy them? Like, and then they told me two different, you know, MOSs. So I could either be EOD or a combat engineer. And I wasn't the best student. So when they explained EOD and all the schooling, I knew right away, I was like, I'm not going to make EOD. I barely passed. The only classes I ever passed was math and PE, you know, I was like, okay, combat engineer it is. So I did that. And then after going to Iraq, spent a couple months there and developing as a soldier and individual, you know, I was fortunate enough to have great leadership, and they saw something in me. And I always ask them, like, what, you know, what, and, you know, what did you see in me? Why would you spend so much extra time on me? And like, well, we saw something that you wanted. You know, you may not have, you weren't the fastest, you weren't the smartest, but you wanted to try. And when we see that, it makes it a lot easier to, you know, put some of your personal time into somebody. And after 2-3 years of this being molded by these individuals, they were like, hey man, you should probably go, you know, SF or be a Ranger. And I was like, I want to. And they really helped me believe in myself. And then I made the push, because after spending a few years, yes, I was doing my part, but I wanted to do more of a direct, bigger missions, bigger high value targets and stuff like that. And, you know, there's only one way to see if you're made, you know, for it. And I dropped that packet, prepared myself as much as I could, and, you know, I was successful. So.
So I definitely want to talk about how you prepared yourself for the physical component too. But before we get into that, you know, what are some of maybe the barriers or some of the things that you had to deal with kind of leading up to dropping that packet? Because, you know, another question I get a lot of times is, you know, well, what about my age? What about, you know, my physical fitness? You know, what about just a lot of different questions, and I'm not necessarily equipped to answer them, but, you know, what do you feel like are some of the challenges or some of the barriers that you came across kind of trying to get to that point where you were accepted to go to RASP?
Well, there's two, I would say two categories on, you know, that whole barrier thing. One, me being prior service, I mean, not prior, well, yeah, being in the military, is that some of the higher ups in my unit weren't as, you know, cooperative. They were for sure making, you know, just simple appointments on the packet of like, hey, you have to go get your eyes checked. You have to go get this. You have to get blood work and stuff like that. They would not give me time to do that. So I would have to find time for that. And in some cases, you know, make time when I was supposed to be somewhere else doing something else. So there's that. And then, but I think something that applies to everybody, whether you're in the military or not, is not knowing how to prepare. Because at least I think now there's more videos and stuff like that about like what's happening on, but in 2008, it was, you know, who knew? There was no videos out there. There was no, you know, people explaining what you're going to do and not do. So all you kind of knew was like, okay, well, I got to be able to ruck. I got to be able to do as much as whatever. So I kind of just freed it, to be honest. I knew there were certain requirements, like you have to run 5 miles in under 40 minutes. You have to ruck 12 miles in less than 3 hours, and you had to, you know, max a PT test. So I just wanted to do all of that, get as close as to or fastest of in any category. And I did, but one thing that I did lack, and at the time I didn't really think about too much, was nutrition.
Mm-hmm. So kind of, and you're in dietetic school right now. So you're getting ready to graduate soon. How much longer do you have left?
I have 10 months left.
Okay. And then you're going to start internship, right?
Yes. You know, actually I start applying for that later on this semester. So we'll see.
You're going to crush it. So kind of knowing what you know now about nutrition, and I know you're kind of just starting out, but you know, kind of knowing what you know about nutrition and training maybe now, you know, what would you do differently if you could go back and kind of, you were in that position and you could sort of retrain and redo things to prepare for that? What would you do differently?
There's so much. I don't even know where to start, but I would say the biggest thing is food first. You know, I got to admit, you know, the supplement companies, they got me. If it said it was going to help you recover or improve, you know, your strength or whatever, I bought it. So just money thrown out, you know, but not what I know is that, you know, food first, food works. So I would have for sure added more fruits and vegetables. I completely would have cut down on the protein. I was taking too much protein. And then for like runs or rucks, I was like, oh, I got a carb up, and it was the wrong carbs. You know, it was the pizza and the burgers and the chips. Like, it's not going to help you out like that. And I would say for sure, cut all the junk food, like this whole, like, oh, you're going to work it out. Not really. I was consuming way more calories than I was thinking. And then I was not burning as much as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then not going out to eat, just because some companies do fool you, like Subway. Yeah, it's fresh, but you're not supposed to eat a foot long.
Like an entire loaf of bread in one sitting.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. I think that's good advice. So when I'm working, I have a lot of times I have pictures sent to me, or people will ask me about supplements, and I'm like, well, what is your day-to-day nutrition look like? Are you even eating enough? You know, where are you at with your weight? Are you even in you know, at the right weight or body composition to even start a process like that? I think we rely a lot on supplements just because we don't know any better. So food first, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Do you think that, it would have made a huge difference kind of in the way your career progressed if you had known a little bit more about how to take better care of yourself during that time?
Yes. I think certain things I would have, that I went for, I think I would have done them a lot sooner. You know, I didn't drop a packet to enter 75th Ranger Regiment until 3.5 years. I think if I would have known about nutrition and how to properly exercise, I would have prepared myself probably within a year. But it just took that long of me realizing what works and what doesn't work, and finding the right, you know, information from the right source.
Mm-hmm. So in the military for about 3 years, dropped your packet, went to RASP, and
So since I was prior service, and they have had some issues with prior service guys, they're like, hey man, it's not personal, but you get a one shot at this, okay? There's, you know, you have to pass so-and-so, and then you're in. There's no redos. There's no, if you get hurt, come back. So in 1 year, I had to do RASP, Airborne School, CERT, Ranger School, and Master Breacher. So after all of that, then I had my permanent slot. So it took, even though I had already passed RASP, it took almost a whole year for me to feel like, okay, I can breathe. I'm in.
Yeah, so RASP, and then you did Master Breacher.
Yep, Airborne School.
Airborne School. Because they're doing Airborne School after RASP now.
Yeah, because so many dudes, they just wanted Airborne. So if they couldn't get that under contract, they'd be like, okay, let me get a Ranger contract. And then Airborne School is in it. So they would just pass Airborne School, and then they would get to pre-RASP and be like, hey, I quit.
And damn. Then,
yeah.
Okay, so RASP, Ranger School, and then Master Breacher. Did I miss anything?
CERT.
CERT, right. So for people who don't know what CERT is actually, that's before Ranger School, correct?
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's called Small Unit Ranger Tactics. And that, I think that on its own should be its own course, because I learned so much from the cadre. They really wanted to set us up for success. And at the time, they were doing the cadre exchange with SAS. So we had British Special Operation guys in our CERT as cadre. So that was a unique experience working with another country's Special Operations, and then seeing how they would attack, you know, Ranger School and all that.
And then after CERT, did you have the opportunity to then go on to Ranger School?
Yeah, the next week we went.
And a lot of guys, you know, Ranger School is no joke. I mean, I think it's one of the most sought after schools, especially for leadership training, for guys in the big army. And then of course, you know, if you're in regiment, can you really call yourself a Ranger if you haven't been to Ranger School?
Yes, it's like that's funny, because a lot of people don't know that, but you have to go to Ranger School, because if not, it's not part of the contract, and it's not stated anywhere. But everybody knows if you don't go to Ranger School, you're not going to make it long in regiment. You're going to get kicked out. So you need both. You need the tab and the scroll. So yeah, it's like a unofficial thing.
Yeah. And Ranger School, I would say, just from some of the guys that I've talked to, I would say that I've heard that Ranger School is definitely more challenging, right? Because you're kind of just under load the entire time, right? You practically live with a rucksack on your back, right? There, you know, maybe a couple of MREs a day. You know, a lot of the guys, that they lose a ton of weight.
Yeah. I lost 30 pounds. And me being a little guy, 30 pounds to me is a lot. I remember when I first got the chance mountain phase to look in a mirror, I was like, it's only been, you know, whatever, like 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks. And I did not look like myself. Everything was sucked in, and, you know, I was just like, oh my God.
What do you think are some of the biggest mistakes you see guys make, or people make, you know, when they're preparing to go to Ranger School?
I would say they overtrain. And I think mm-hmm. that comes from the fear and anxiety of, like, not being able to make it. Because, unfortunately, I knew some dudes that their knee was already hurt. Their shoulder was already hurt, or their ankle was already, because they were rucking too much with, like, super heavy weight. And that's not how you do it. You know, for example, when I'm running marathons during the training, we never actually run a marathon for the marathon. You get as close to it as possible, and then that's it. So, but what I mean by that is that you hear that, you know, at Ranger School, a ruck sometimes might be like 100 pounds after if you got into the swamp and stuff. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you should ruck with 100 pounds. Like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for example, for myself, the max I ever did was 55 pounds. So I would say overtraining.
Yeah, I totally agree. So just to give you an example, I mean, I come across the same thing. You know, I had a guy, he called me up a couple of weeks ago, and we were kind of talking. He was actually not in the military yet, but he was hoping to enter and, you know, secure a soft contract. And I kind of asked him about what he had been doing. And this guy had just been doing training program after training program after training program for like 2 years straight. You know, no deloading, no rest, really. And was starting to actually have symptoms of overreaching, you know, blunted appetite, not sleeping well, feeling like he couldn't recover. And, you know, and I asked him, I was like, you know, when was the last time you just took a break? And he couldn't even tell me. You know, so I think tapering, you know, is something that we talked about. I've had the opportunity to actually work with some guys that are actually getting ready to go to a certain ranger school. Same thing, you know, one of the things that I always talk to them about is kind of that taper, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before you go, you know, not trashing your body completely, all the way up until 0 day, but taking like that last 2 or 3 weeks, maybe to, you know, optimize your sleep, your hydration, you know, get your mind right. What do you think about that? What are some words of advice you could give kind of around that?
For, I think, mental strength. So people ask me that all the time. So for RAS, for Ranger School, can I get some advice? And I tell them, you know, yes, it's physically demanding, but it's more mental than anything. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to have certain, like, many boxes of motivation or your why. You know, like, I'm doing this because I want to progress in my career. I want to do this because I want to test myself physically, mentally. I want to do this because I want to prove some. I want my dad to be proud because he was a Ranger too, or whatever it may be. You need many reasons on what to carry you mentally, because you're going to be physically exhausted, but most likely if people quit, it's because they're mentally just exerted. And I would, me and others would find, you know, like pick me ups or a picture of our wives or a picture of our kids or a picture of something. Cause you need something, your mental strength. Yes, it's going to get tested, but you need something to keep it going, because that's the number one thing that is going to take you to from day zero to graduation, and believing yourself and it sounds corny, but like your body is capable of doing way more than you think.
I've heard that. I've heard, you know, your mind gives out way before your body does. So just finding that one thing, hold on to it, right? So, because your physical, you know, when you feel like you've hit your physical limitation, right? It's that thought process and that mindset where you're at. Do you feel like that's what's going to take you kind of that final lap?
Yeah. And it's okay to be nervous, and it's okay to have moments of like, damn, like this is too much, or like, this is a lot. But that right there is just an internal battle. You know, and it's just whether you call it fear, anxiety, or something, but that's an internal battle that a lot of us have, and maybe a lot of us don't voice. I had a guy who called me, and he's a stud, and he had already gone to RASP, and he's like, "Hey, man, can I call you?" And I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "I'm super nervous. Like, I'm really nervous." And I had never heard him speak like that. And everything that he had gone to, he was killing it. And then I'm like, "Hey, man, like, how you're feeling, it's okay." Like, I felt that way. And when I said that, he was like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, like, doubt is okay, but you can't, you know, let that kill your motivation, your drive, and say like, okay, I'm going to quit." No, like, having that is perfectly okay. It's just don't quit.
Yeah. Do you feel like sometimes there's like this stigma, not just within Ranger Regiment or Special Operations, but just in the military in general, that like it's not okay to feel those feelings, like be nervous, be afraid, like it's not okay to, you know, kind of manifest that?
Yeah, that for sure is, I think it's an issue. I think it's, I mean, like, we all, even I did it at certain times in my career, like, try to fool each other and but it's human nature to feel that way. I don't know of anybody who's not ever had those thoughts during anything. Like I have trained with and fought alongside, you know, just about every special operations unit that, you know, that the U.S. has, and then even on the outside, talk to them. And we've all said, like, hey, at one point, oh, yeah, I didn't know if I was going to make it. But then I would see this guy continue, so I would do it. And so to think that, hey, none of us feel that way, that's the wrong way. I think it would do us a lot, you know, more good if we voiced it, and then you just had good friends to say things like, hey, man, like, that's okay, but you're going to crush this. And later on, we're going to laugh about this statement that you just made, okay? Because that's just like your, you know, inner bitch coming out or whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. And my hope is, and I don't know if you've heard about this, so the Army's kind of trying to focus a little bit more on not so much just, you know, kind of the institutional, like, things that they've always done. And there's really kind of this push to really focus more on the individual soldier, right? So recently, I don't know if you've heard this, but FM7-22, which is like the personal physical training manual for the military, has changed a lot. And October 1st, it actually changed the holistic health and fitness. And it's like this 250-page manual, and it focuses on nutrition, periodized training, sleeping, mental resilience, just, you know, spiritual well-being as well. So it's just like this huge, huge culture shift going on. And so I think the hope is kind of like some of that, you know, can be addressed or start being addressed in the next probably decade or two. But, you know, within the special operations community, they've kind of always had, you know, like strength coaches and dietitians and mental resilience and behavioral health kind of individuals. You know, but I think the hope is that culture is going to start to change a little bit. So we'll see what happens with that.
You know, I think that's a good thing. It's a great thing. And I wish we would have done that a long time ago, but I mean, we're doing it now. So that's good, because that's so true. Because if you want to have, you know, an optimized soldier, like, well, every category of that individual or a human being needs to be at its peak. And you're not going to get a top performance when, you know, mentally, you know, you have problems, or physically, whether it be nutrition wise or exercise wise or just sleep or mood or whatever it may be. I think the more we take care of our soldiers, I think the quality and performance is going to, you know, go up.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're starting to move that way. So that's my hope anyway. But now kind of moving away from that, I want to go into what you're doing now. So you're out of the military now, you know, you have a family, you're going to school, and you've made this transition into wanting to be a dietitian. So how did that all come about? Like, why dietetics, you know, from being a ranger to a dietitian? Like, how did that evolution happen?
Well, one of the plus of being in a special operation units is that you have more resources, and you know, you have a bigger budget. So of course we have all the cool guy gear and all that, but we also have private facilities of, you know, multi-million dollar gyms that are equipped with physical therapists, physical trainers, registered dietitians. And I didn't know what a registered dietitian was, to be honest, but I'd gone hurt in Afghanistan, and I was working with our physical therapist and then our strength and conditioning coach. And I started believing in, like, oh, now I understand why there's professions. Like, I used to think I knew everything about training. No, I didn't. So after working with our strength and conditioning coach, I walked by and I saw a sign that said registered dietitian. And I was like, what does that even mean? It's got the word diet in it, so it's probably got to be something about how you eat. And I'm like, okay, well, if I've been working with all these people, I should probably work with that individual as well. And it just happened that RD was the only female on the team, so I'm like, okay, she's here for a reason. I should go talk to her. And I went to go talk to her, and I don't know how long she'd been there, but she already knew how to talk to us, because the first thing she told me was, what would you do with your eating habits if I can make you stronger and faster by 5 to 10%? And then that environment, 5, 10% is
huge.
Big. It's huge. So I was like, I'll do anything. You tell me what to do. Tell me what to eat. And you know, we got my reading. So I went on a scale. First thing in the morning. So, you know, nothing in the belly. Was wearing only nothing but my PT shorts. And we got our numbers. And she asked me a million questions. And then she's like, okay, this is going to be your meal plan. Try it out for 2 weeks and come back and tell me what or how you feel. And I remember the first time my wife made the meal plan, I didn't believe like that this is how much I was supposed to eat. Because first of all, the protein, I used to eat a whole chicken breast for dinner. So when she came to the plate with three or four ounces of a lean meat, I was like, what is this? She's like, this is what the plan is said. And I was like insulted. I was like, this is not 4 ounces of a lean meat. And it got to a point where I even went back to go weigh it. She's like, you don't believe me? And I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, well, okay. She said, I have to eat this. So I'm going to eat it. And in 2 weeks, I felt like I was recovering a lot faster. I wasn't having these crashes in the middle of the day. I had more energy. And yes, I was, you know, getting stronger and faster just in 2 weeks, but the biggest thing was like recovery. I used to do a workout and then still feel sore, or not maybe energized for the next workout. That completely changed. My mood changed, my sleeping improved. And I was like, man, like this is a game changer. And I was also competing in martial arts. So specifically Muay Thai. So, I followed her plan for that fight. I won. And how I was feeling, it helped me and it hit me like real hard that I was like, if I'm feeling this way, I should probably apply this to my children and to my wife as well. They're not training, but like they need these nutrients, they need all the vitamins and minerals and stuff like that. And my kids were really young. So I had enough time to, it was a battle though, to change this whole, go to a restaurant and them only eat from the kids menu that's only filled with fries and grilled cheeses and, you know, mac and cheese. And then, so if they started seeing me eat fruits and vegetables. So then they began to eat fruits and vegetables. And I was like, okay, well, this is helping us overall. This is helping everybody. And then next thing you know, it was time to get out. I was so engulfed in being a Ranger that I got a call. They're like, hey man, you're like a couple months out of your ETS date. So you got to re-up or get out. And I had missed a lot, you know, for my kids and wife, you know, both my kids, I'd been overseas when they were born. So I told my wife a long time ago, I was like, I know I missed a lot, but when our kids go to school, I will be there for the first day of school. And my son was 4. So I was like, okay, or he's about to turn 4. So I was like, okay, school's about to start. It's time for me to either get out or sign up for more years. And no one in my family had gone to college. And I realized that, yes, me being in the military was helping my family out a lot. I would send money or, just me being who, what I've been doing has brought pride to my family. But money is good and all, but sometimes what people need is you to physically be there. So yeah. I was like, okay, it's time for me to go home. I need to be there. Yes, I want, if I had another double of me, I would make the other guy stay, you know, cause I loved it. I wanted to be there. And people always told me, dude, you're a lifer. Like, and I'm like, no, I'm not. They're like, dude, you're a lifer. Like, look at you. You love this. And I did, and I still do, but my kids are more important. And my family's more important than my, personal needs of wanting to stay in. But the question was, okay, if now I want to tackle this for myself and for my family, I want to go to college, but what am I going to go to school for? And I thought about it for maybe a day and I was like, registered dietitian. I'm like that, because I wanted to continue my service for the country. You know, and I saw that being a registered dietitian, you can help out people. And by helping out people, I mean, yes, it will be more local. Like, I'll be helping out my community. But, you know, maybe that's what I needed to be doing. And I'm not going to lie, I was scared. I was nervous, you know. Like I said, in high school, I was a terrible student. But I figured if I just apply myself like I did in the military to school, I mean, I should at least get passing grades. So that on its own, I have to admit, I was scared and I was nervous. But I started school. I started applying myself like I did in the military. And I was just hoping for C's, but I was getting A's and B's. So I was like, okay.
Big difference. I think that, and you know, I can totally relate. So I went into the service at 17, obviously not combat arms. Right. So I went into, sort of the medical side, working as a 68 mic, which is nutrition care. And, you know, I did like 7 years, and that time came for me to ETS, and I, you know, having my first child, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I want to be mom. You know, I've been deployed twice. My husband at the time had been deployed 3 times, you know, missed all of his kids, you know. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get out and be a mom. And kind of that first 6 months of getting out, you know, when you come of age in the military, it's like, well, what the hell do I do now? You know, I felt I didn't do a really good job, you know, of kind of like figuring out my life before I got out of the military. So I think like 6 months after I got out, I was like right back in a recruiter's office, been like, what can I possibly do if I decide to go back into the military? Right. But so, yeah, it's super scary. And then I think 6 months after that, I found myself in dietitian school too. So, getting A's and B's when previously, I think I had given it the old college try when I was like 18 and in the military out of basic, I did like a couple of college classes and I think I was failing algebra at the time. So to go back to college, you know, 10 years later or whatnot, and then, you know, actually be excelling, I think was kind of a surprise for me as well. So I can totally relate to that.
No, yeah. And I have to say, you know, I used all the resources because like how I use all the resources, you know, the strength and conditioning coach and the RD and the physical therapist at school, I was like, okay, these resources are here for a reason. And I mean, I'm not the best writer. I'm not the best of everything. So I would go to the tutor center when school was over. Yes, it was tempting to go with friends and you know, get a drink or whatever, but I knew what I had to do. So I used the tutor center, the writing center, everything and anything that the school had to offer, I was like, okay, I'm going to use it so I can pass. And, you know, it's helped. It's helped a lot. And I recommend everybody. That's why it's one of the things I tell veterans is like, use all your resources. Okay. Like, trust me.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that you're kind of towards the finish line, right? We're getting closer to the finish line of being a dietitian. Once you kind of finish your internship and you start your career, what do you feel like? And I know it's kind of soon, but what do you feel like is going to be out there for you? Like, where are you going to kind of take that as a dietitian? Are you looking to get back into kind of like a tactical setting? Maybe even, you know, being that civilian dietitian, like in a special operations community, or where are you thinking you're going to go?
Well, yes. Like I thought I, in the beginning, I was like, I want to be that RD at, you know, maybe a ranger unit or whatever. But then we have, you know, registered dietitians come and talk to us for one of my classes. You know, one of them was from WIC. And they were talking about, we need RDs and stuff like that in low income communities to educate the community. So, you know, because low income communities have a lot of issues because of their food choices and availability and stuff like that. And they were saying that they don't have a lot of Spanish speakers. And I think of who I am, I think I can communicate and reach, you know, like for example, a low income Hispanic community that I used to be part of. So I think I might do that for a while. But I will also help, you know, local fire departments or PDs, fire departments, like, hey man, I know you're not certified, but if you can give us some advice, maybe a video or a PowerPoint, like I would love that. So I think I'll do both. Or honestly, I don't know. I mean, things change. Like, I didn't even think I would consider trying to work for WIC, but here I am thinking like, okay, maybe something like that or whatever program or agency works in those communities, you know? And then on top of that, other doors, and I've been opening, and I'm not going to lie, I miss it to this day. I mean, I've been out 4 years and I still miss it. So I don't know. Who knows?
So I finished college, you know, when I was older too. So I was actually 30 when I graduated with my undergrad and started my internship. And, you know, I think you're in a place, and this is just me talking, you know, I think like with where you come from, where you've been and the experience that you have, and I think the drive and the passion that you have, I really think like the world is 100% your oyster. You know, if you can sort of face the challenges that you've already faced in your life, and you've already taken kind of every tool that you had and applied it to where you are now, I mean, you could really work wherever you wanted, I think, and excel. You know, and that's just my personal opinion. So I'm going to toot your horn for a second there. So I think you have a lot of, I think you have like just, you could do anything. I mean, really, you could. And I think also, one of the things that I've come across is a lot of dietitians feel like they get pigeonholed or they get stuck where they're like, oh, I have to work in a certain job for so long, or, oh, I want to do this, but I can't, you know, or like for me, I had a family already. Like I had kids and I was married and I was older when I became a dietitian, and I knew I wanted to get in sports in some way, but I couldn't leave. Like sports nutrition, traditionally, you got to like pick up and leave, and you know, quality of life is to be perfectly honest, not really that great, because you're working like 18 hour days plus, you know, you're there early in the morning, you're there late in the evening. And that was just something that I couldn't do. So, you know, I had to kind of create some of my own opportunities. And I think I have no doubt that if you needed to do something like that to get to where you want to be, you could totally do it.
No, I appreciate, you know, the kind words, and that is how I feel. You know, I feel like, you know, I could do a lot of good, and some approaches are going to be like very fun and maybe bring in a lot of money. But one of the biggest things that I think is going to drive me is, where can I help the most people? Because that, you know, even if somebody offered me a job that's a lot of money, but I'm not helping anybody but myself in my pocket, I can't do it. Yeah. I would probably say my upbringing and the people who have helped me have molded that within me, that it's, I got to be helping people in some way.
Yeah, I totally agree, 100%. And then on top of that, you have like a very entrepreneurial side to you as well. Is it okay if we talk about OG Pumpkin? Because I don't know if you noticed or not.
Yes, I did notice.
But I'm repping my worldwide today.
Yes. So how that came about, it's funny because I actually didn't start calling myself a businessman until you know, a few months ago. So when I got out, clearly I didn't hang out with my old crowd. You know, before that, I was a troublemaker. So I wasn't hanging, when I came out, I didn't start kicking it with the homies and stuff like that again. And I lost my sense of purpose for sure. And I didn't know that when I got out. I was happy. It was like, I called it the honeymoon stage. Everything was great. Everyone's happy to see me. But after a while, like three months, I realized the emptiness. And I'm like, well, I started uploading old pictures and videos, and then people started contacting me who were interested in the special operations community. And it all started the same way. Like their messages are like, hey man, no offense, but you're small. So how did you make it into the 75th Ranger Regiment? And I was like, dude, 'cause it's mostly mental. I mean, you just, believe in yourself and keep going. And then I would tell them what I did to physically prepare. And then, you know, a bunch of my cool guy videos and pictures started getting a bunch of views, and some of them have gone like millions of views, and people have watched it from all over the world. And then I started answering the same questions over and over about, you know, how to be a ranger, how to become a ranger. That I started a YouTube channel, not because I wanted to be a YouTuber, but because I would be writing these messages and answering the same questions like 20 times a day. And I was like, okay, just watch this video. And if you have more questions, then hit me back up, but watch this video. And then that created a following. And while I was going to school, a lot of people don't know, but I mean, you know, your education benefits from being a veteran, you get paid while you're in school. And it's a good amount of money if you save it. But when you're not in the semester, you got to find a job. And I didn't know that. So next thing you know, I'm working at, you know, odd jobs at a yogurt shop. And I'm not going to lie, it was kind of rough because some of the customers sucked, and I couldn't help look at myself and be like, dude, you used to be an Army Ranger. You had a house, you had a career, and now you're getting yelled at by a teenager for a minimum wage. Like, this fucking sucks. So companies would send me, you know, stuff like my friend's companies. So they would send me stickers or t-shirts, and I would always post it so they could get traffic, and people would ask me like, hey dude, is that your shirt or is that your sticker? I'm like, no, but it's my friend's company. You can buy it over there. And for years, people were like, dude, you got to start your own thing. You got to start your own thing. And I was like, I'm not a businessman. I don't know anything about art or the t-shirt company or I don't know any of that. And then I was going to have my third child. And my wife was like, hey, like, I know you love the veteran community, the active, you know, duty community. And at the same, I would host UFC fights at my house, and I would buy the pay-per-view, and I would buy the food. And I would do this a couple times a week. I mean, a couple times a month. And I mean, it adds up, you know, that money adds up. So she's like, we can't be doing this anymore. You know, we're going to have a third child. And me being who I am, I was like, she is right, but I'm not going to stop. So that means I need to find a solution for that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start a company. I was like, I'll make a sticker first, but I didn't know of what. I didn't want to just make some random thing and then just try to sell it. I want it to mean something. And in a lot of my combat footage, I have skeleton gloves and I'm wearing a skeleton bandana or, you know, I would have a mask, and cause I like Halloween. So I was like, I want it to be something like that. And at the same time, around that time, my son drew a pumpkin. And he's like, oh, this is for you. And I was like, oh, can I have this? And he's like, yeah, this is for you. I was like, and I saw the pumpkin, and I was like, immediately, I was like, this is going to be the logo of the company. And this is going to be my first sticker. So I got it tattooed on me, and then I made 100 stickers, and I'm like, okay, let me try this thing. And I said, who wants a sticker? On Instagram, I made the post, you know, who wants a sticker? And I thought I was going to maybe send like 7 of them or something. All 100 of them were spoken for that day. So you have my wife and I writing 100 envelopes to sending them from, I'm talking about all over the world, you know, Germany, Spain, places in the United States that I've never been to, you know, places in the United States that, to be honest, I didn't even think who I am and where I come from would even, that story would even reach there. Let alone for them to care. So I was like, okay. So that was my first shirt. And like that, it picked up. And now, you know, the income came. So I was still allowed to do the UFC events and stuff like that at my house. And the next, you know, I started hosting, you know, shooting ranges for veterans to come by. And then I sponsor guys who, the guys who used to message me, like, how do I prepare? They're high school kids or college kids, and college kids, for the most part, they're broke. So I started this program like, okay, well, if you're a high school kid or a college kid and you're trying to be in whatever special operations units they may be, it doesn't even have to be a ranger. Like, what gear do you need? Because gear is expensive. let alone just the boots alone is expensive. So I sponsor every month. I put that out there, like, hey, this month I'm doing it again. Who needs something? And I bought fins, rucks, boots, whatever it is that they need. I send them the money. And with this whole COVID thing, I started doing buying food and giving to food banks. And even then, I didn't even consider this a business. I was just like, oh, I'm just hustling. And next thing you know, I get the LLC, and you know, it becomes more official. And then I started, and I was like, you know, and then I got to be on Andy Stump's podcast and Mike Rillins, and that really changed my point of view, because them were like, dude, you're a businessman. Like, that, what you have is a business. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. So I've been doing that, and it's helped a lot. So that's kind of where I'm at now. Like, I sell this stuff so I can help out people, and also so I don't have to work an odd end job in between semesters. So kind of, so it's working out.
So it's the OG Pumpkin. So if people want to find it on Instagram, it's at OG Pumpkin, right?
Yes. Yes. It's at the_OG_Pumpkin. So like, I knew it was a pumpkin, but I didn't even know what the business was going to be called. I was just like, okay, I looked up pumpkin on Instagram, and of course pumpkin is taken. And then I was like, okay, maybe, you know, original pumpkin, as in like, this is the original shirt or the original design. And then that was taken. And then I was like, maybe the OG, because OG, you know, is for like original. Or, and then I was like, okay, well, you know what? And then the OG was available. So I was like, okay, the OG pumpkin it is.
I love it. No, I follow you. I love the stuff that you're doing. I love the stickers. I love the shirts. I know we just ordered a bunch of stuff. So I have a bunch of your stickers on my canteen. I actually have one sitting on my desk. So here too. I haven't figured out. My husband said it's his. I'm claiming it. But I haven't figured out where I'm going to put it yet. Yeah, but I love it. I mean, the worldwide shirt is one of my favorites. And just knowing, so I didn't even know you were doing all of that kind of with your business, right? So like when I found you and I was kind of like, we put all the stuff in our cart and we bought it. I was really just loved the way it looked. And then we were really just looking to support you, right? But kind of knowing like all this other stuff that you're doing with it, I mean, it just makes it even that more amazing. So definitely, if you guys haven't gone over to at the OG Pumpkin, you got to make sure you check it out.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Awesome. So if people do want to contact you, or if they're interested in asking you questions or wanting to work with you, you know, is that something that you're open to kind of fielding questions about?
Yes. Yes. So my message that Instagram or my personal Instagram account. My personal Instagram is Angel G Cortez 175. And yeah, just message me, and then I try to answer everybody as detailed as possible. And then a lot of the questions I've already answered. So I just send them to the YouTube channel and be like, hey man, instead of writing you two or three sentences, like, here's a full video that goes more into detail. So you get a better answer, as opposed to me just trying to tell you a few things.
YouTube channel, is it the YouTube channel? If people want to find you on YouTube, is it under your name?
Yeah. This one, it's called Ranger Cortez. And I called it Ranger Cortez because I was like, one of the things about the YouTube channel is like, I'm not a YouTuber. Like, what? It took me forever just to create it, which, by the way, there's probably a teenager right now who's like, I can do it in 5 minutes. So it took me forever. And it was like super late at night. And I'm like, what do I call this thing? Like, how do I tell people my name and then that I was also a ranger? And then because I was so tired, it reminded me of ranger school, of when you're, because, you know, you're sleep deprived. And sometimes you do foolish things, and the cadre, just like in this tone, would be like, Ranger Cortez, what the fuck are you doing? And so that just made me laugh. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call it Ranger Cortez. So it's not even like Ranger Cortez, like, hey, I'm a ranger, my name's Cortez. No, it's like a, you know, when you're acting like an idiot and the cadre's calling you out.
That's hilarious. And it's Cortez with an S. So C-O-R-T-E-S. Yeah. I want to make sure everybody knows that. Right. Awesome.
And then if you're local to Southern California, you know, come out to the, I train at a boxing gym called Raw Talent Boxing, and then at a Muay Thai and Jiu Jitsu gym called Classic Fight Team. And I tell people all the time, like, hey, if you're interested in anything, just come by, try it out for free. And I've had, at this point, like a few dozen come out, even for a class. And some of them have stayed there and they still train to this day.
That's awesome. All right, man. So I am so glad that we did this because, you know, like I said, I'd heard a little bit about your story, but I just love everything that we talked about today. I love kind of where you've been, where you're at, man. I love your attitude. I love your heart. You have a huge heart. That's amazing. And I definitely want you to come back and kind of chat with me again once you're on the other side of internship and you've got that RD at the end of your name. All right.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And then, I got to bring it up. I can't believe how it went out is that, you know, you won one of the things I was giving out on Instagram. I had my son put the numbers.
Yeah, I won the little sugar skull.
Yeah, I had my son pick the numbers. So he picked the numbers first for both people. And then I just typed in Shopify. I was like, okay, what is this number? And yours was the first one that came up, and I was like, no way. I was like, I'm actually going to do the podcast with her tomorrow. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I'm so excited. So as soon as it gets here, like the inside of my house, like my husband and I, like, we're very minimalist kind of type people. So like the stuff on the wall behind me is literally the only thing hanging up in our house right now. Like, we don't put anything on our walls. Like, we don't have a ton of furniture, a ton of knickknacks. So like, I've already picked out a place on our mantle where it's going to go. And there's like literally nothing else there. So it's just going to be sitting right there. And it's going to be like the centerpiece of my whole living room. So as soon as it comes in and I set it up there, I'm going to post it and I'm going to tag you in it so you can see it. I'm super excited about it because it's totally one of a kind, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'm so excited. It's what do they call it? It's serendipity. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I don't want to keep you much longer. But this was an awesome, awesome experience for me. So definitely going to have you come back once you've got those RD credentials, so that you can spill out even more knowledge, on everybody who's listening.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
Guys, I probably could have talked to Angel for at least another 2 hours. But there you have it. And like I said, we really only scratched the surface of what he's doing and who he is and kind of everything that's come before. You know, his entrance into college and even what he was doing in the regiment. So if you would like, make sure you head over to the Cleared Hot podcast and check him out on there. It is an amazing episode and it really gives you an idea of where he's come from. So, all right, that is it for this episode. We will see you next time here at the Tactical Nutrition and Performance podcast. How you know, man?